planning to look into the areas that need to be fundamentally looked into in terms of amendments, but also heart or key to the bill itself or to the act is the establishment of the budget office. I must say, after the act has been referred, was referred to us, we also understood very well that it's a joint responsibility of all committees of finance to look into the amendments of this bill or of the act. The Speaker's office, which is the presiding officer, deemed it necessary that we should have a political oversight committee to oversee the work that underpins and research the amendments of the Act. We separated the approach. In fact, we decoupled our approach into one. We had to look into a process that could, as soon as possible, begin to focus on the establishment of the budget office. And through the Speaker's office, we had secured the services of Professor Jahed Mohammed from the Development Bank of South Africa as a second person to assist us in that area. The second aspect was dedicated to the legal minds in the legislature, I mean in the House or Parliament, Advocate Jenkins, who is looking into substantive areas that need to be looked into in terms of amendments to the Act. So today we then thought it would be important to bring every committee member on board in the finance family. I've not given a full rundown in terms of the structures, but all chairpersons of the Finance Committee sit as a political advisory committee to the administrators that are actually dealing with the implementation on the administrative side. Professor Mohammed focuses on the establishment of the budget office. We haven't had a report from the legal part or the legal aspect in terms of the substantive amendment that is supposed to go into the Act itself by Professor Jenkins, but he said to me he is ready at any given moment, can be called before the joint committees, just come and give an update report. But we thought it would be important that we speed up the process of the establishment of the budget office, because our ability to can effect meaningful and substantive amendments into my bills will depend on the capacity that committees have. And all of us have been in agreement that we need to ensure that the budget office is in place. That process has been taken or undertaken by various committees or study groups to the extent that I think we've got sufficient information that will be or will underpin the report that we are going to get from Professor Jahed. We are also mindful of the fact that today, almost all of us, we are debating in the National Assembly, both the Appropriation and the Standing Committee on Finance. We will therefore just take key points of the progress report and take some few questions of clarity and probably comment on how we think the process must continue to unfold moving forward. Professor Mohammed? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members. Thank you very much for the opportunity for me just to give you an update and a briefing on the progress of the Budget Office. In terms of the presentation, I'm going to outline very quickly to you a lot of work that has been done, the work that has been done over at least 6 months now, and I won't give you all the details, but I'll just focus on the key issues that we've achieved so far. I'll talk to you a bit about the Act, the preparation for the Budget Office establishment, a work plan, the research that is done. I would indicate to you all, Honourable Members, the current legislative and fiscal oversight processes that you are undergoing. I want to define to you what it means by legislative oversight, and to give you some ideas as to the proposals around the Budget Office, and finally an issue around the international seminar which has emerged in this respect. colleagues, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the Act speaks about, it came into effect in 2009. It talked about the establishing of the Budget Office. And, of course, the objectives of the Budget Office is clearly outlined in the Act in terms of what the Budget Office is supposed to be doing. In terms of Section 13, these are the functions that the Act talks about. And it talks about reviews and analysis, advice, budget implications, keeping abreast of policy issues, and of course looking at unfunded mandates. So this is all included in the Act of the money bills. Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of what we've done and the preparation that we've done, the background of the work, we've looked at research. DBSA research has also informed budget officers. You know that there were study tours undertaken by the Finance and the Progression Committees, I think the Speaker as well, and the study tours went to Kenya, Germany, Japan, and the Republic of Korea, and of course the secondment to support in establishing the office. In terms of developing and going forward in terms of the budget office and the progress, there were some critical issues that we looked at in terms of preparation for the work plan for the budget office. And of course, the first thing is that we interacted with the executive authority. Other issue was political tasking that guided the work of the budget office, and this included the chair of the House, Mr. Follick, and the four chairs of the Finance and the Appropriation Committees, and of course the co-chairs of the Review and Rules Committee. So in the development of the work plan and taking our guidance in terms of how the budget office would pan out and some of the lessons of experience, best practices, this was the team that guided us going forward. In terms of the work plan also, ladies and gentlemen, we work very closely with senior management in Parliament. We engage external stakeholders. And when we talk about the internal management, we call them internal stakeholders, basically. We also inform the work through research, international best practice, lessons of experience. And fundamentally also, ladies and gentlemen, is what are the specific South African conditions that you need to take into cognizance if you want to introduce a budget office in this context. Very quickly and very briefly in terms of what the research told us, and I summarize this for you very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, is that parliamentary budget officers basically do a few things, and these are the common areas that they focus on. They basically look at evidence-based budget analysis, economic forecasts, fiscal projections, they examine proposals, and of course they look at the impact of alternative funding policies. So they provide alternative options in terms of costing, in terms of looking at different proposals that you present forward. And this is commonly what budget officers do internationally and in other countries. Also, what we notice in terms of our research is that there's a growing trend internationally for budget officers to be established. And what we also notice is that with the growth of democracies, budget officers tend to be present. Not that you need a budget office for a democratic system, but it is associated with democracies. In many countries, what we also notice is there's a growing trend of the executive to have oversight over the legislature. And basically also the executive has more capacity over parliament to undertake certain things. We also notice that legislators in general lack of technical analytical capacity and information to actually exercise oversight. And also what we notice therefore is that because executive exercises more capacity over legislatures, there's a decline by legislatures to exercise oversight funding, especially with regard to the fiscal issues. There's also limited oversight, and as you know, limited oversight leads to poor fiscal outcomes, and because you don't have proper oversight, you have poor fiscal outcomes in the system. Of course, what we notice, ladies and gentlemen, is that once you do have budget officers, there is a capacity for legislature to have the necessary control and exercise over the budget and also over the role of the executive in this case. In terms of the study visits that I think Parliament members went on, we noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that there are three types of budget offices internationally. The one is a kind of budget approving legislature, where you have a legislature that counts them in the budget and basically approves it, so rubber stamps it in this case. And I think at this point in time, South Africa is a typical example of this, but say Sweden and the UK, you then have budget influencing legislatures, where you can amend the budget, but you're not part of formulating the budget. So there's no technical capacity, but you basically amend and you have the powers to amend the budget. And finally, you have budget-making legislatures, where the legislature actually makes budget and have the technical capacity to exercise oversight and influence over this. The USA is a critical case in point where the Congressional Budget Office basically tears up the budget presented by the president and presents it to the budget. So we need to decide what suits you best and where you would like to slot into this process. What you also notice, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of study visits, is that there's a very influence of legislatures over the budget. And, of course, it reflects the authority of the legislature over the executive or the executive's ability to modify the budget in this respect. Countries have reported that they can amend the budget, but they do nothing about it. And that's all they have, is that they have the power to amend, but they don't have the technical ability to exercise influence over the process. What we also notice is that although they have the power to amend, they only look at adjusting the budget downward. So fiscal discipline is important in this case. And very little thought is given to how you actually stimulate the economy, maybe through fiscal spending, etc. So besides pushing the budget down and saying, well, we're now exercising fiscal discipline, very little thought is given to the economic policy issues in this respect. What we also notice is that the legislature is affected by the time it has to look at budget proposals, etc., and this influences the role it has over the budget process. In certain countries, like in Mexico, for example, and others, they have given themselves more time to look at and examine the budget and to have the appropriate capacity to do this. And this is probably a good example for South Africa as well. What we also notice, ladies and gentlemen, is that the committee structures are actually the appropriate structures. And the committee structure should be given more support and authority to engage in this process. What we also have done, ladies and gentlemen, is through the study visits, through our research, we looked at the common staffing structures, reporting lines, functions, what are the best options in this respect. We also noticed that in terms of international experience, what do we learn from this and how do we apply it in South Africa. And one thing that comes out very clearly is that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. And of course, the role of the budget office is influenced by the type of political system you have, the formal powers of legislature to amend it, the political environment, the technical capacity you have, etc. And this all influences how you set up potential budget office. For South Africa, we notice that there's continuing cry and call for budget transparency. This is from civil society as well. There's a need to enhance credibility of the budget. Of course, increased accountability, discipline in public spending, and maybe discipline is something we should look at, especially after the crisis in Europe, and is discipline really the right route? And of course, very importantly, ladies and gentlemen, the capacity to capacitate Parliament to exercise its oversight function, which we believe hasn't really happened. Because what happens at present is this is how legislative oversight is undertaken now in Parliament. Basically, there's questions to the President, there's some debates, there's some motions, and there's some reports that flow out of it, and I think that's the extent of legislative oversight. However, fiscal oversight is more than just questions, etc. Fiscal oversight is about three issues. It's about government expenditure, it's about government borrowing, it's about taxation, and finally, very importantly, it's about regulation. And these are actually four areas that you need to look at when you're exercising oversight over the budget process. Next. Also, besides looking at the purely economic and fiscal policy issues, you also need to look at what I think we term the fiscal infrastructure. So you need to have oversight over, for example, the South African Reserve Bank, National Treasury, SARS. These are what we call fiscal infrastructure. And we feel that, you know, very little attention has been given to the oversight over the fiscal infrastructure in our country. What we also notice, ladies and gentlemen, very interesting, is that fiscal reform should be a critical part of oversight. And what we mean by this is that, for example, is the MTF still relevant? You know, is it still the appropriate form of budgeting? Because fiscal reform entails attaining the objectives of government, the fiscal and economic objectives of government. And it's a typical economic question of how you apply limited resources to massive needs out there. What's also important, ladies and gentlemen, is that together with fiscal reform goes the reform of the civil service. They two sides at the same coin. And exercise, oversight must be exercised over these areas. You can't have a fantastic medium-term expenditure framework and have a civil service which can't merge and match the needs of exercising oversight in this regard. But budget reform goes hand in glove with the reform of civil service. And we believe this is important for you to exercise oversight over as well. We also need to point out that the budget has three functions. It's about discipline, fiscal discipline. It's about allocative efficiency. How do you allocate resources in line with government priorities? And it's about delivery efficiency. Value for money, bang for your buck in this respect. Yes, also, ladies and gentlemen, the budget system, I think, as you know, is key for service delivery. It's the instrument to translate government priorities into public goods. And I think what we don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, is that the budget is actually an expenditure of government, is actually the way that you direct the economy, that you indicate in which direction you want the economy to go into. So if you allocate 30% of government expenditure as a percentage of GDP, which is the present case, and you say that we're allocating it to infrastructure development, then what you're telling the rest of the economy is that this is the route we have taken as Parliament in terms of directing the economy of this country. 30% is very little in certain areas and cases such as in France. Government expenditure as a percentage of GDP is 60%. In the States it's 65%, in Australia it's 70%. So government plays a massive role in economy through the expenditure process. And I think that's also important is that you need to understand that by making these decisions, you're actually directing the way that you want the economy to go into and setting the tone for it. Any policy which does not consider the budget is nothing. And you put your money where your mouth is. So I think this is also a critical area. And of course, good government. The budget is about good government, and it captures the issues of good government. Ladies and gentlemen, what we've done is, after all the research, etc., is we've identified potential functions for the budget office. And we've identified three streams, the economic stream, the public finance, and the policy stream. Now, these are utopia. This is ideal that we'd like the functions of the budget office to do. Of course, it will depend on the capacity and your needs in this respect. But this is basically the kind of three areas that we hope the potential budget office will work on. Structure follows function. So out of the function, this is the organogram that we've developed. We call it director and three deputy directors because the Act calls it that. And then we have two analysts for each area. We're looking at the total of 12 people as a staff. And we're looking at these people basically servicing the finance and appropriations committees in the two houses as a potential starting phase in this respect. I think you don't want to move into an area like Korea where you have 250 people in the budget office plus 1,000 on call or the CBO. So this is the initial beginning phase that will help support the committees in this respect. Okay. This is the reporting line, ladies and gentlemen. I think if you look at most budget offices around the world, they report to the executive authority, except in the case of Canada, where they report to the chief librarian. Hasn't really been doing too well, but I think this is what you're looking at. Ladies and gentlemen, just to give you an idea, a lot of work has gone into this, and if you come to my office, I'll show you files about organizational design. We've done job descriptions. We looked at market-related benchmarking. We've looked at the relationship between the budget office and LD in this respect, the legal issues, supply chain management. So a lot of work has gone into this process already. We've also consulted with external stakeholders, and these are some of them. The academic institutions are also very interested in providing potential support and capacity building, whatever that might entail. A lot of support from other government departments in terms of providing information. So I think everyone in this sense sees the benefits of a potential budget office in this case. We've also worked with Advocate Jenkins and the technical party, and I think he's probably told you that the Act needs some amendments. Amongst others, time frames, some textual agreements, and looking at the role of the director, which his team is very competently handling. And also, just to give you an indication that in terms of going forward, we need to consider this process. We talk about policy statements and then the rest of the process following. So this would guide you in terms of implementation and prioritization of the budget office. Next. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a draft budget which we've presented to you. It contains a bit of salaries, a bit of capital expenditure, and some current expenditure as well. And of course, this is open to you for addressing your critical analysis. Next. And in terms of the way forward, ladies and gentlemen, I think what I'd like to call for is that implementation be prioritized. We have looked at the issue of office space. I think the speaker and the four chairs of our committees are assisting us in finding office space in the precinct of Parliament. We will continue to support and advise on the Act. We have done presentations, honourable members, to the Executive Authority, the political task teams, EXCO, and we've also last week did a presentation to the oversight, the POA, where you all had the chief whip. We'd like to continue with the stakeholder engagement, and what we've been asked is, or what we'd like to ask, is that we also do presentation to your caucuses. So we're in the process of writing to you to say, you know, if you're available, we'd like to do this presentation to your caucus. And also, finally, we'd like to arrange an international seminar with the support of National Treasury. And I think they have found some money from the Swiss. We'd like to have a two-day seminar to talk about budget office. We'd like some speakers. Of course, in fact, the honourable members also do presentations and engage in this process. And that's the progress so far. That is it. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
Thanks, Prof. Honourable members, what we thought we should do is to allow members to ask questions of clarity, but then we'll chart the way forward, given that we've got time limits and time pressures. Because I think it is important that this presentation is taken back by various committee members to be entertained, and we'll find a common date. I'm aware that Thursday is Thursday tomorrow, no, day after tomorrow. We'll be having our last sitting. But that I think suggests that committees will not be doing their work into the future. So we may find a common date as joint committees to reflect deeper in terms of the proposals that are here and the observation that the team has made thus far. But for now, it's important just to allow members to ask some questions of clarity so that as we move on, at least we have a basis or a common understanding of where things are. Honourable Zart.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, Prof.
Yeah, let me note others. It's Honourable Zart, Honourable Mashire, Honourable Harris, Snell, Honourable Ross. In that order, I hope you remember. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. You know, the Money Bills and Invent Act ostensibly gives Parliament the right to change the budgets or amend budgets, but in effect it never happens. It's never changed by the Finance or the Appropriations Committee. And we're sitting with a situation where the Appropriations Committee, for instance, you know, can see that there's huge under expenditure in certain departments, but those monies are never shifted to something where you can actually use the money to better advantage to either another department or to another area within that same department. But it just doesn't happen. And you know, Treasury does all those shifting of funds. And then we find that at the beginning of the year, each department just puts in one fact provision for, you know, employees, you know, for the compensation of employees. But then, like 3 months down the line, they say, no, we don't need these employees. We're not going to fund, you know, we're not going to fill these positions. And then they sit and they say, let's move this money to somewhere else. Then we get illegal movements of money in terms of the PFMA. So, you know, how does the budget office and your proposals here address that specific problem that we can actually amend budgets as parliamentarians?
Next.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Mine is just to check the state of progress in relation to the drafting of internal procedures and actual guidelines, how the budget office is going to relate to the committee and the Treasury Department and the decision-making processes. Whether there is any progress that has been made on those kind of guidelines or regulations. Thanks.
Chair, as my colleague Honourable Swart pointed out, we've had this legislation for the past 3.5 years, but we've been missing the one key part, which is budget office. Clearly, the focus on way forward is the most important point at this stage. The thing is, although we can have, we support the idea of the workshop, we support the redrafting of the law. It's unfortunate that we have to redraft it, but we do need to redraft it, clearly. But there are more practical steps that need to happen as well, concurrently. The one is the issue of the office space. My understanding is the target was to try and have that space by July this year. It isn't there yet. Who does the committee need to speak to try and accelerate that process? The second point is the appointment of the advisory panel, which I understand was meant to be done by August. What's the status of that? And how can we hurry that up beyond the legislative works that we're planning to have? And lastly, Chair, the most important question is will, in the opinion of those charged with taking the budget office to its establishment, will the budget office be ready to advise these committees on next year's budget?
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick question with regards to the policy analysis. Will individual members like ourselves be able to make policy recommendations to your office, or will you just take it from the portfolio committees? And just a little bit more information with regards to that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Have a chair. Thanks. And I'd like to thank the team for the work that they have put in today. With regards to the support for oversight by committees and the support that the budget office is going to give ourselves as a finance cluster, there's two different roles that should take place there. But when you look at the figures going forward in MTF, it looks like it's just going to be confined for the next 4 years to supporting these committees, which in effect, in my opinion, would hinder the process anyway going forward. So how are we going to look at paralleling those two processes so that the system actually works? Thanks.
I think that was the last. Okay. Prof. We'll assist somewhere at the table here.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think there's a few interrelated questions. How do you amend? And I think very, very clearly is that you, of course, at this stage, the budget office will take its advice, guidance, work from the chairs of the finance and appropriation committees. And I guess this would be the work that is undertaken within your committees. You also have support staff in your committees. You have content advisors, you have researchers. And I don't think the budget office responsibility is to do the work for them. But I think the technical work will be undertaken within those committees. And anything that is outstanding, whether relates to amendments, policy work, et cetera, will come out of the committees through your chairs, and I guess directed to the budget office in this case. At this stage, with 12 people, I don't think you can do much more but support, you know, the finance and appropriation committees in the very specific work that is identified through the chairs in this respect. So, in terms of how you relate to the committees, what's important is that we will work with your committees. You will, of course, channel all your needs, very specific needs that is required, you know, for specific undertaking by the budget office through the chairs of your committees. This will then be done by the budget office, sent back to your chairs. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we can't have a situation where they're like in Korea. I think this is what you know this, where individual members of parliament can walk into the budget office and say, we want you to do a trend analysis or we need this. That would, of course, be the ideal situation. And this is ideologically free, objective analysis based on, you know, the economics. I think with 12 people, limited capacity, basically at this stage is just to support the four committees. Later on, I think we'd also have to look at, Ms. Mashiri, how you support the other committees of parliament as well, you know, labor, health, because they also have needs in this respect. But I guess, again, as you know, do we expand the budget office now or later? Or do we have a kind of pilot phase where you look at this? And in terms of the policy issues, I think it's a good question. Because what will happen now is that the three functions will operate in a matrix fashion. So when you do an analysis or a report for your committee, you look at the fiscal, economic, and the policy. and we'll provide you with one report which looks at this. I think it's important that you take advantage of the amendment process, because it does give you authority, you know, through your committees to question, you know, I think that's what you said, is education, should it get more money than sport, you know, what's the reasons for it? How is money allocated? You know, is it in line with objectives of fiscal policy, monetary policy in this country? So it's not just thumbstick numbers. And in terms of ETF, Honorable Snell, I think also you know, it does give you the leeway to re-look at the medium-term expenditure framework, you know, in terms of course, the objectives of your economic policy, monetary policy, and so forth. It also, I think, importantly, should give oversight over fiscal infrastructure. You know, do you exercise oversight over SARS, National Treasury, etc., etc.? Because this is part of, you know, the fiscal oversight processes as well, in that respect. Thank you,
Jim. Yeah. I think the other questions Prof. that we raised were about when is the Parliamentary Budget Office hoping to move to the premises. I think, right, honourable members, maybe this process is a very important one for Prof. what you call office to ensure that from our side they buy in the support so that they should not rush moving to offices, you know. But to find offices in principle, I think is right. But I think part of what Honorable Famaji was saying at the beginning is that I think Honorable Harris was asking where to from here. I think it is the responsibility of this committee to say to them, to advise them where to from here. Because for now, there's no formal budget office, there's no proper, what they call, staffing. We should give that money. I hope that Commodore Pramati, there is a budget to allow for this. But I think maybe the chairpersons as well could look at that budget to assist, because looking at that, well, those 12 people and that support, it looks like it's very, very basic that you asking for. I think, how do we show? Well, maybe for start. But something that maybe also needs to be looked at. And the other question, Comrade Samadi, was around the advisory, what you call it, expert panel. The legislation does provide for that. And I think that maybe what we should be starting with is first things first. Get the office running, see from there, and then now start to get to the next phase. What do we need? What are the needs of this office, like that, starting to operate and then get into issues of the final advisors. I think for now, it's going to be difficult to say you will do these things simultaneously. I think they can run like that. Yeah, I think that's where I needed to make some input. That's the last thing. I think that there's something to me, one of the members, that's very important, the trend that cuts across of saying this relationship between the members and the Parliamentary Budget Office. Providing the input says it depends what we want to see ourselves. But I think that there are experiences, we have seen the foreign experiences, other people were in America, they saw there are different what you call experiences. That maybe we do need from time to time to get together as this collective and share those experiences and look which one is really appropriate for us. Thanks.
Yeah, so, you know, with the explanation that you have received and then knowing that they're going to start with very skeletal, surely there will definitely be a need of some procedural steps of how we actually link with them. Otherwise, they may find themselves in a tight corner where they don't know who to prioritize among the committees and actually finding themselves being stumbling blocks for certain committees to do something. There is a need of a, you know, some procedure that will guide how we relate with them and how we get the responses from them, and so that we actually get authentic and report with authority from that office, other than getting reports from halfway from the direct and all that. If there's a procedure that is streamlined, how we get requests and we get the report out as well, as we are starting, so that we know the skeletal staff that will be there and the relative experience as well of the budget office. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I forgot to raise that point that the Honourable Mashile raised. We have looked at the kind of process of business flow, like you said. So how will it come from your committees, members, the chairs? Even, you know, should it go to the speaker for his noting because it reports directly? So for that, again, we'll present to you. It's up to you to decide what is the best route to follow. And I think our guidance is basically from our chairs. So, you know, it's up to them. But that process has been worked on. Thank you, sir.
Any other? Okay. I think, lawyer?
Right, Chair, thanks. I'm not sure but if you understood my question properly. At the moment, the legislation makes provision for two specific things to happen. One, for appropriations to kind of adjudicate on submissions that come from committees to amend the budget and we report to the House. The other one is for the Finance Department to look at broader macroeconomic issues, okay, which I think that organogram would be able to fulfill. But my point is that if you look at the NTF and you look at how it's growing, how will that be able to give effect to the current legislation that we've got? Because if those committees are incapacitated, I don't believe, and I don't mean to be derogatory, and I don't believe that the content advisors have got the analytical skills that are necessary to be able to make recommendations where budgets shift. Now, if you're not going to capacitate that element and you're going to capacitate us, it doesn't give effect to the machinery to do what we want it to do.
Now, I hear your question on the personnel. I can't answer it. I mean, I'm not part of, you know, I'm a content official. I have certain views about it. First of all, I think each MP, you know, should of course be appropriately supported and capacitated, you know, like you have in the rest of the world, etc. So that's here the need, here no need. Of course, I believe, you know, there should be capacity for you in terms of research, for the committees, etc. That, of course, will make the work of the budget office much more easier in this respect. I'll give you an example. In the US, each MP has a team of 25 people, including interns, researchers, etc. And each committee has, you know, its own kind of support arrangement as well. That's what we should be doing, and hence my point. Together with reform of the fiscal system, you need reform of the civil service as well. Like two sides of the same coin in this regard. So there are lessons of experience, best practices, where you know, legislature, which is supposed to be a key institution in our country, actually exercises that appropriate oversight. And as I pointed out, the tension between executive and legislature needs to be addressed as well. So who's having oversight over who is the issue? And I think a start is a potential budget office, you know, and what we can do, Honourable Snell, is maybe, you know, as you pilot this phase, is maybe assist you with capacitating some of your committee staff, et cetera, assisting, you know, in that regard. But again, we take our guidance from our chief in this respect.
I think what we should do, Honourable Members, first is to acknowledge the work that has been undertaken. I hear what Honourable Harris was raising in terms of time frames and timelines, what was supposed to happen at what time and so on and so forth. The technical team under Professor Mohammed has not had the opportunity to take us through a detailed presentation. There's a lot of work that has been going, among others, that will actually even touch on the issues that Honourable Mashiri was raising and the budgetary issues. Quite a detailed work.
I think almost 6 months now down the line. What I would urge honorable members to do is to take this presentation, let mull over it, will allow our inquiry to find a way in which we are going to coordinate so that we can have a substantial discussion and intelligence input to continue to guide the work that the technical team is doing. I've also said there's another parallel process that is driven by Advocate Jenkins in terms of the substantive amendments of the Money Bill Act. We don't have that report today. I think we still have to get that briefing sooner than later, so that nothing is left behind in terms of the movement forward. But having said so, I think we should allow the team to continue to work, and then we'll make our own input as the finance cluster in terms of what we think is to go further into the process itself. Like I indicated earlier on, let's not disadvantage those who are going to debate this afternoon. They still have to go and make their final preparations. We leave the coordination of our next meeting in the hands of our able wits in various committees. I think we should leave it there, honorable members. Agreed? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair Bessie and colleagues.